sitting there at 28. You got 10 picks, so you got some ammunition. You thinking hard and long about moving up?
We think about everything. You know, I think that look at all the scenarios. Obviously, we got a week to go, so we'll look at all the different scenarios and look at the possibilities. We do have some ammunition, and which is good. So, but you know, you never have enough of them either. So, you know, sometimes the more bullets you have, the more chances you have to be successful. So, there's two theories of thought there. It's always expensive going up, though.
You have questions of the tackles in this class. It's based on the position that are deeper. Is that a position perhaps you can get best player available and stay type thing, whether it's the first, second round?
Well, there's a lot of good tackles in the draft. So, you know, I think that's one area of the draft that is does have some depth, especially at the top. So, you know, there is a possibility for that.
John, does it make sense to keep all 10? Do you have 10 roster spots? Do you have the money to pay for 10 draft picks?
Well, I mean, I think the key thing is you look at every scenario, but I will say this. It's not as easy to move picks and to move around. As you just don't do it. You just say, okay, I decided, you know what, in the fourth round, we decide we're going to move back. You know, so you can't – it's not as easy as everyone thinks. Everyone thinks, well, yeah, they ought to just move back. Well, it's not that easy. You got to find a partner that wants to move back, and depending on what the compensation is moving back. So there's a lot of scenarios to that. Or even moving up, you know, what the price is moving up. So, you know, I think that hopefully we can help our football team. We do have a lot of picks. We do have a good football team. So that's a challenge. But the key thing is we still have to continue to build through the draft and – and, you know, I'm fortunate with a great staff, Matt Russell, Tom Heckert, and the scouting staff have all done a tremendous job. So, you know, it's our time of the year that we have to shine and hopefully find the right guys.
Beyond offensive tackle, what positions do you see as depth-wise in this draft?
You know, there's a lot of wide receivers. I think running back's definitely deeper this year. You know, there's some corners. I think the offensive side is probably a little bit deeper than the defensive side, but, you know, there's still a lot of good football players available.
John, when you look at quarterbacks in college today, it's a lot of spread offenses. What kind of difficulty is it for your scouting staff to look at a guy like Bryce Petty, who looks good on wide-open guys in that spread system but then struggles taking snaps at the Senior Bowl? How complicated is it for you to look at a college quarterback now from a spread offense and say, I think you can make it in the pros?
Well, it's more difficult. There's no question. I think, you know, Mariota's in the same situation, the fact that he hasn't been on the center quite, you know, very much. But I think that, you know, there hasn't been a lot of success of guys that have been in a, you know, shotgun offense all the time that's had a lot of success. I think Cam is one guy that you can point to that has had success doing that. But, you know, there's been a lot more guys that haven't made the transition that have made the transition. So it's always tough, but I think that is part of the projection that you have to make make these days, and the fact that, you know, that's what college offenses are doing. I also think that contributes to why there's so many wide receivers coming out every year, because of the fact that they're getting trained so well in college right now with the offenses being wide open. So, you know, with that type, you know, it does help, you know, the wide receiver, you know, position.
On the heels of that, John, with Garrett Grayson, the quarterback that's used to that pro set offense, is that advantage for a quarterback like that will go in?
I think he's probably more ready. You know, I think that there is an adjustment to go in, but anytime you spent both times under, you know, time underneath the center as well as back and shotgun. And when I look at that transition, the biggest thing is probably just being able to see, because one thing shotgun does do is allow, as a quarterback, it allows you to see better. And so if you've not been underneath the center, there is an adjustment to being able to come out, and you're more limited of what you can see because those big guys are right in front of you. And so I think that's probably the biggest adjustment that they have to make.
Are there scenarios in which you would take the quarterback?
You know what? We are wide open to everything. We never really lock into anything. You know, I think that as much as we go in with a plan, that plan always changes because of the fact of different things that go on during the draft. So what we try to do is cover all situations and really, you know, try to find football players that are going to make our football team and make us better, regardless of what the position is. And if they make our football team better, we'd rather be, you know, real strong at one position, and if we're not as strong at another one, but be able to make sure that we know we got a good football player, we'll do that.
John, you said in the past, in the first three rounds, you really do expect those guys to contribute to the team. Do you still feel that way? And it's difficult if you see those picks not contributing to the team for you as a general manager.
Contribute in what way? I mean, I think that those type, you want those players to contribute on the, you know, in special teams. I mean, whether with offense or defense, but I think the contribution is, you know, on the special team side, that's important. We want guys that not only are going to help us and be good football players, whether it be offense or defense, but especially when they're young, you know, they got to be able to contribute on the offense or on the special teams. Now, that gets more difficult when you have a better football team. And when you have, we're very fortunate to have a pretty good football team. So the competition when they do come in here is severe. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of competition for them. And that's the way we want it. And so hopefully we can have guys that come in here not only compete for jobs, but make the guys that are here better too.
Then you had to be more frugal this year in free agency. Does that change the approach of the team to the job? Does it put any extra pressure to anything different?
No, I mean, you know, I think there's, you know, with each different year, I mean, we obviously in free agency, we filled what we thought were some needs that we needed. In fact, we got real good football players in the areas that we went to find those football players. And so we were good with what, feel good about what happened in free agency. And again, it's all about creating that competition. And so, you know, we each one is separate. Saying it makes it harder going in the draft? No. I mean, we look at free agency as separate from the draft. And again, it's going into the draft, trying to find football players that are going to help your football team.
How important is it, in terms of your coaching staff, to have a talented young player contribute beyond special teams early in his career? Is that a big deal or not a big deal in terms of development from a coaching staff?
I'm not sure I quite understand the question.
How much was it? Okay, I could go really directly. How much was it on Cody Latimer in the competition for preventing him getting on the field a year ago, and how much was it on the coaching staff?
Oh, well, I'm not going to go. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's you want guys to contribute, you know, but the bottom line is hopefully, you know, he contributes more this year. And I think there is a lot of, you know, the teaching and the adjustment. You know, there's a lot of factors that contribute to how much a young guy is going to be able to contribute, you know, coming out of you know, college right away compared to his second year. When we project guys in the draft and being able, are they going to be starters in their second year? That's how we try to project guys. We don't think about them coming out being starters right away, but when we grade them, that's what our projection is. Can they be a starter by their second year? And that's how we grade off of them. So you're getting back, there's a lot of different factors. I think, you know, with where we were at the wide receiver position, you know, and what we were doing, you know, a lot of combinations of different things of why Cody didn't play. But I think the expectations are that he'll, having that year under his belt, will contribute more this year.
So should Michael Schofield be a potential starter at right tackle then this coming year?
That's where he's going to start, yeah. He's going to start. Well, I should tell you, he's playing right tackle, you know, and obviously there is a lot of competition there. But that's what we drafted Michael for. With the idea that we know he has position flex because he's also played guard. So, you know, Michael, it's been good for Michael to get that first year under his belt. And he's bulked up quite a bit and he's got stronger. And so, you know, I think he's looking forward to competing this year.
Did you find yourself evaluating linemen differently this year because of the zone blocking? You're looking for a different type of lineman as you did in your first four drafts?
You know, it's hard because we do both, and Gary does both. I mean, he does some gap scheme stuff as well as zone, you know, and so obviously, you know, we're always looking for athletic offensive linemen. You're looking for athletes, period. I mean, athletes are the ones that make this game go around, and the more athletic any position are, or you are at any position, the better off you're going to be. So, but that does contribute to looking at, you know, the offensive linemen and what we're doing.
You made it last year. We've made it 9 minutes in here without anything about Peyton Manning, so I'm going to break the ice there.
You're timing that.
First time. Let me see it right here. since you, it's the first time we've talked to you since off-season workouts kind of got going. One, how does he look physically, appear mentally? And then two, how do you see this offense kind of coming together after a couple weeks of them being all in the building?
Well, I haven't been in the meetings, so Peyton looks fine. He came back. He's ready to go, excited to go. And so I think that he's looking forward to working with Rick Dennison and the offensive staff and what we, you know, what they're used to doing. And, you know, and as we've talked about, combining what Peyton does well and, you know, what this offense and what Gary and Rick, you know, have done in their past, that because they've all been very successful and whether no matter what offense it is, whether it be Peyton, what he's done and what Gary's done has been very, and Rico, and he's been very successful. So it's about blending the two together, and I think that I don't think there'll be any problems with that happening. I really don't. You're talking about very smart people and putting their minds together. They'll come out with the right solution.
Given your relationship with Gary, John, does this coaching staff have any different voice in the draft process than perhaps the last staff would?
No, I mean, we had the last staff involved in the draft too. I mean, I think that, and we want it. I mean, it's important for the coaches to buy in too. We want them. You know, we're not always going to agree, but their input's important to us, and because they're the ones that are going to be coaching them, and so you know, it's an advantage for us to have everybody on the same page, and so that is important when we look at who we're going to take. That you know, there's a consensus on that guy that we're going to take.
John, what have you learned in this process in terms of, oh man, I will never do that again in the draft process, and on the same hand, this is what we need to do more consistently, what you need to do more consistently?
Well, you know, the thing is, each draft is so different. Every year, it's so different. I mean, you look at this year, and you look at the mock drafts that have come up this year, and they are all over the board. I mean, there is more mocks that are all over the board than ever before. Now there's more mocks too, but you know, everything's all over the board. And I will say this: the interesting thing that I found out is how different ways people can look at a different football player. You can look at one player and have 10 guys looking at that one football player and come out with 6 different conclusions to that. So it's not a science, and then I think that is why the working together with everybody, getting the ideas, why do you see this in this guy? I don't like this guy, you do, and so let's go sit down and watch this guy and figure out, okay, why don't you and why do I? So that's the process. It's always a learning process because you're going to come out with so many different opinions. And then to me, that's the most – the thing that I look at is the amazing thing to me is that how you can come out with so many different opinions. When it comes down to doing different things, you know what? I don't know that we've made a whole lot of mistakes. Obviously, every pick has not been perfect, and it's not going to continue to be, and we've made some mistakes. But we've also had some, you know, some hits. And so that's going to be the goal again is to, you know, you're always trying to eliminate the misses and accentuate the hits, and hopefully we can do that again this year. And I would say this is that I'm very fortunate to have a great staff with a lot of experience, you know, Matt and Russell and Tom Heckard and you know, A.J. Durso and Champ Kelly and our Darren Muji are all our scouts. I mean, they do a tremendous job of collecting all this information, working with the coaches, getting their viewpoints. And so the whole process to me is I like it very much because it's a collaboration of everybody's different ideas. And then ultimately we got to come out with a decision that's best for the Denver Broncos. And that's a great challenge. It's not easy. I mean, I hear a lot of the draft talk. The hardest thing about the draft that no one realizes, you can't move when you want to move, right? Everyone says, well, I'll move down. It's like, really? Well, we need someone to move down with or move up or, you know, and, you know, so we tried to move up last year with a team and they wanted my 3 first grandchildren. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to do that. So, you know, it didn't happen. But, you know, so that's why those type things don't just happen. That's why the draft's intriguing because it's so many things have to work the right way. But the bottom line is you got to be able to have good quality people picking good quality people.
When you're looking at the draft, John, you go in and you're building your board, and there's been talk about whether they get rid of the 40 times or not. And you have a football player that maybe is 0.2 slower. You have a gut feeling on that. How does that discussion go?
Well, I mean, there's so many different things that go into that, right? You know, and speed's obviously a big part of it. But then again, you can turn on the tape, and a 4.7 guy will play faster than a 4.3 guy. And so, I mean, you can see a lot of times on tape exactly how fast they play. And sometimes they don't play their time speed. Some guys don't play well when they put pads on. They don't play nearly as fast, right? All of a sudden, they can run. Track guys, you don't see them running 100 meters in shoulder pads and helmets. So, I mean, there's a difference when you have some of these really fast guys that put on pads that aren't as quick and not as fast as the guys at 4.7 that carry their pads very well. So that's all part of the discussions and the process of going and making decisions on who to take.
John, you're in different roles now than you were last time, but how's it been working with Gary and with Wade and Rico and have them all back in the building? I guess Rick was the offensive coordinator, but you want to hear that.
You know, it's been great. You know, and they've been working hard and trying to get the new, you know, the offense, you know, put in. And it's been good to have the players back in. It's had, you know, it's been great having Gary back in the building. But and he's everything I knew he was and thought he ever was, and better. And so, you know, as well as his staff, he's done a nice job with his staff. They're hard workers, and so, you know, I'm excited about, you know, where we are when it comes down to the staff.
John, you guys have a nose for finding undrafted talent. What kind of challenges are presented after the draft when you look at those college free agents? Chris Harris, probably the best cornerback in the game. C.J. Anderson's a star.
Well,
you guys have found these players.
We've had good, you know, and a lot of that comes down to our scouting staff, and they've done a good job of pinpointing these guys, and then right when the draft's over, giving these guys a call and trying to get them on board. So, you know, we've been very fortunate. A lot of that credit, the credit does go to the coaching, you know, the scouting staff, and then you know, it's been good. We've been very fortunate, as you said, Chris Harris, to name one.
You know,
C.J. Anderson last year, so we've been very fortunate.
With the players that you acquired in the last month or so, how important was it to have veteran options at every position on the field so you had that kind of flexibility in the draft to take the top guy on your board regardless of position?
Well, I mean, it's hard to go into draft with a big need, and that's the last thing you want to do because that's when you end up chasing. And so we didn't want to, you know, always try to be solid at all positions going into the draft and with some veteran presence, as you said, to be able to go into the draft. And then when you get to the draft is to take that player, as I say, that you think is the best player available and has a chance to have, a good NFL career. And that's the key thing is that whether it be a position or need or not, the players that you pick, you want them to be able to compete and be successful in the NFL.
You mentioned earlier that running back was fairly deep in this draft. Is that specific because of this class, the group of players, as opposed to the last couple of years when there hasn't been any that have gone in the first round? And or has there is it a sign that the value of the running back is kind of making a comeback in the NFL?
Well, no, I don't think it's because of the value. I just think there's better players coming out. And, you know, for what reason, I'm not sure. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you have a lot of juniors one year come out and then the class the next year is not as good because all the juniors came out. So there's a lot of different reasons why different positions go up and down as far as value and as far as the numbers in each group.
Because the last couple of years there just weren't any running backs that were just worth in the first round. Is it still worth – are running backs still worth it? I guess, to go in the first round.
Sure. I mean, it, the player makes that, you know, so it's no matter how good that running back is whether he's a first rounder or not.
Winston or Mariota, who would you take?
I'll tell you later.
You spoke about projecting players that start in their second year. Given that there are some positions that appear to be playing, a 39-year-old quarterback, maybe a second year is not an option. Are you expecting to find a need starter?
Well, yeah, we do. It'd be great if we have some guys. Now, and here's the other thing is you got to look at, too, is especially on, you know, other than offensive line and really quarterback position and really corners, starting corners, who really starts? I mean, if you look at the defensive line is a rotational, you know, it's a rotation now. So you need depth at defensive line because that rotation needs it. You need guys in the secondary that come in and nickel. You know, you need third, you know, the third and fourth guys that are going to play a lot, that are cover guys, that are going to play a lot. They're not necessarily starters, but they're going to play a lot. That's why when you talk about 46 guys and going into Sunday with 46 guys, they're all – the only one that don't – the only guys that don't play is really the backup quarterback unless he's holding. So we talk about really being starters. We're talking about contributors. I know I said with the way that we look at them as starters, but the way the league is kind of – going is that especially in the defensive line is, you know, there's so much rotational stuff that goes on as well as the secondary that I think that we'll have guys coming out of this draft that are definitely going to help us next year.
John, how are your few more guys? How are your mock drafts going? Have you started them yet?
We haven't started it yet. So we'll start those on Monday and start doing those. And I'll call Alfred for some input. I don't believe me. I hear it. I know it.
How would you
Huh?
How enjoyable is this part of your job, specifically the draft and the grand scheme of everything?
Well, this for us, this is the exciting time of the year. You know, you start with free agency. It's really a time for us because of the work that we put in, and it's a fun time for year. It's, you know, the time of year that we kind of look forward to because not only we put up a lot of work, put in a lot of work. It's gratifying to get through the process, but also I like when we feel like we making our football team better. And through the draft is when we start feeling that we've, you know, made our team better. And also, you know, the same thing with free agency. Once we get into free agency, we get through there and we get guys signed there, we feel like you make the team better. And that is, to me, what I like. And so that's why the draft is a big part of it, too, because, you know, we have a chance to make the Broncos better.
Would you take a returner, or do you want a returner who does something else?
I think that's the ideal situation, is a guy that can be a core special teams guy, can also play offense or defensively and be a returner. That's the ideal situation. You know, but, you know, to just have a roster spot that's eaten up by a returner is a little bit tough, even though we've done that the last couple of years. You know, we'd rather have it the other way.
Final two, Troy and then Ori. Is linebacker somewhere you'd like to add depth? And the second part of that, do you have any concerns about Danny and or Brandon being ready for training camp?
No, we think they're going to be fine. Greek says that they should be ready for training camp. Obviously, it's not going to help them missing the OTAs, but, you know, that is what it is. And so, but they should be healthy by training camp. Again, I say this, we're going to take the best player that's there. And you know, we really feel good about, you know, we've got some good young linebackers and feel good about that, but you never have enough of those either. So, you know, if there's a good one available, we'll take one.
Last one, Arnie.
John, with Demaryius staying away from the off-season program, do you find it imperative to sign him sooner rather than later so that he can get in here with this new mashup offense that's being installed with Gary here?
Well, to be dead honest with you, I see absolutely zero value of him being away from here. Zero value for him. So there's no value for him not to be here with his teammates. So as far as negotiations and him and New Deal and what's going on, we'd like to get something done. But by him being away from here, there is zero value, not only to us and to him. So to me, it makes no sense. So that does actually has no effect to anything as we're talking about trying to get a contract done with him, because that's what ultimate we'd like to do. But you know, for him not to be here has zero effect.
Do you appreciate that he's, you know, wouldn't want to get hurt? He's protecting himself, and you know, he signed the tender later on in the summer, right before camp.
Well, I mean, that makes no sense to me. Him not getting hurt. I mean, if he gets hurt somewhere else, if he gets hurt here, he's covered. If he gets hurt somewhere else, he's not. So tell me why that makes sense, that he wouldn't be here working out with us. I mean, so that's why I don't understand at all. And, you know, that's part of the game, but it makes no sense for him not to be here.
Okay, thanks, John.
All right, thanks.